is the Don and Mike Show.
It's another great day for drugs. The sun is shining bright.
Hi, Andy Dick.
So pass the bong and let's all get high. It's another great day for drugs. It's raining hard outside. So pour the beer and pass the bong and let's all get high.
Whee!
It's another great day for drugs. Woo-hoo. My girlfriend's cat just died. So eat some shrooms and pour the beer and pass the bong and let's all get high. It's another great day for drugs. Mm-hmm. The cops keep driving by.
Yippee.
So snort a line and eat some shrooms and pour the beer and pass the bong and let's all get high. Loving you.
Oh,
is very nice, but not as nice as drugs.
That boy gay in a handbag full of rainbow.
Everybody can suck it.
Hi, that was a good tape we haven't heard for a while.
Sure is.
How about you, Regis?
What glorious ghoul.
Oh, I'm sorry, where's Regis?
Let me just feel it once.
There you go. And what about you, O'Reilly?
Gay sex, whoa.
Whoa.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
Oh, dear. Scream real loud, kids.
No!
A couple of pain-in-the-ass jackholes. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's us.
Hello.
That's our names. Don't wear them out.
We're here.
We're queer.
We're not going skiing.
We're not touching feet in a men's room.
Not at all. We'll tap our toes a little bit.
That guy's back, right?
Larry Craig.
I mean, that guy's back for a couple of days.
Right. Yeah. Larry Craig.
Back, right?
Larry Craig.
Senator Larry Craig.
Okay, I've got a variety of topics I would like to discuss here.
All right.
We have pickup lines for chicks. Things you can learn about her by looking around her apartment. Oh. There is the whole stupid Donovan McNabb thing, right, which is idiotic, which leads us down the whole race highway again.
Yeah. Yes.
What a dope he is. What a dope he is.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that?
There he is.
That might be fun to talk about.
You know, someone should just tell Donovan McNabb that until he won that game last year, everybody said Peyton Manning sucked. Everybody said Peyton Manning can't win the big game. Everybody said he can't win the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning sucks.
I really thought that we had gotten beyond race in professional sports of that caliber. I really thought so. But obviously, a lot of people don't feel the same way.
Oh, I think Donovan McNabb is hiding behind the race guard. I think he plays in Philly. They're brutal fans in Philly.
Right.
And he's treated no better, no worse than any other quarterback
now, is he saying
who's not won a Super Bowl.
Is he saying the fans are doing this or the coaches are doing this? I mean, who is
okay, I'm going to paraphrase.
Who is he directing this? I know he made a comment about white quarterbacks are treated differently than black quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Who is he directing his ire at?
At everybody.
Everybody, okay.
What he was saying was, one of the quotes was, I can throw for 300 yards, and we can win by seven, and they can say, oh, he missed the guy that was open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, hello, Donovan McNabb.
That's every quarterback in the league.
Everybody in the world. It doesn't matter what color you are now. You know, as a matter of fact, I know who said this? Goddamn, somebody said something funny on ESPN who I didn't expect it from. Oh, I know, that lunkhead Sean Salisbury.
Sean Salisbury, he normally doesn't please you with his statements.
He's a guy that, in my opinion, is way too intense. And another one of these guys, I don't mind a guy lecturing me about football if he's a former player. Mm-hmm. But Sean Salisbury was a sucky former player.
Yeah, and he talks about how he played the game and he knows everything. He bases his commentary on that all the time.
Yeah, but what he said cracked me up because he said, this whole thing is ridiculous with Donovan McNabb. You know, we're past this. He said, why in Jacksonville, do you know that until they released Byron Leftwich, they had three black quarterbacks on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a moment of silence, and he said, how's the white guy going to get a break? So it was actually a moment of levity during all of this other crap.
Well, it's just an area of the world where, I mean, I don't know, as a fan, I can only say the way I process it. I mean, I really look at that. It's hard to think, you know, in NFL quarterbacks, I didn't think it was a black-white issue anymore.
It's not now.
I mean, they're black quarterbacks, they're white quarterbacks, they're black coaches, they're white coaches, and I thought the NFL is more progressive than a lot of other leagues. You know, it's nice to see, and the nicest thing about it to me is I thought we've kind of moved past that. And you know what? Every time I think we've moved past that in this country, I feel we take a step backwards.
And the other name that I just wanted to scream at Donovan McNabb was Rex Grossman.
Mm-hmm. Is there a more hated quarterback in Chicago?
You show me a guy, seriously, open any newspaper, turn on ESPN any hour of the day. Here's our top story. Rex Grossman still sucks.
Yeah, and Eli Manning up in New York not exactly having a walk in the park either.
Right.
And, you know, it's just unfortunate that he said that. Because I really think when a guy of that stature says that, it kind of, you know, no matter what race you are, it sets things back a little bit. And I really, as far as NFL quarterbacks, I'd really, when you look to break out percentages, I mean, do you really know any you know, fans, real fans of the NFL now that really process it on race anymore? Quarterbacks are quarterbacks.
Even in this day where I like to think that we've moved along, I think because of fantasy football, even the diehards, how you doing, Rob? The diehards,
right?
Even those people have now fully embraced the fact, hell, I don't care what color the guy is.
Right.
If he can get me 25 points a week,
right,
he can be green if he throws touchdown passes.
Exactly.
I drafted McNabb once.
There you go.
And there you are.
Say no more.
That covers it all.
How'd that work out for you?
I mean,
didn't draft him this year.
Say no more.
Then he's right.
Gotcha.
Say no more, Rob.
All right,
say
no more. Enough about Donovan McNabb. Rob?
Let's talk like a pirate day.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
Rob was very excited about the fact that it is talk like a pirate day. I should have said, say no more.
Okay, Robbie. So that's the Donovan McNabb thing. Now, here's the thing, and I got to be careful with this because I'm speaking about my family, and I don't want to ruffle any feathers with anybody. I got a call today from my daughter. Thank God it went to voicemail because you tell me how you would react to this, okay? I love her with all my heart,
of course.
Okay? She's a great daughter, great mom to my three grandkids. And my son-in-law, who has a problem with cell phones that we've already discussed on the air, you know, they're a nice little family unit. And I don't know, over the last couple of years, I've helped them out, you know, and I don't mind doing it. I've offered to because that's what a dad does. You help out your family. And, you know, I went through the whole thing where I paid for their cell phone. I don't mind doing that. And then he rang up, you know, over like 2 months, a $2,500 bill, of which they are still paying me back in small increments. So it's fine. And, you know, la-la, life goes on.
Right.
Well, we had a nice chat last night after dinner.
Right.
They put the grandkids on the phone. And then today, I missed the call.
Mm-hmm.
I was upstairs. Janet said, phone's ringing. It's Amy. I said, I'm in the bathroom. I'll just go to voicemail. I'll call her back. I get the message, and here's what it is. It's, hi, Dad. Hope you had a nice birthday. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, there's something that I want to bring up, but I'm not really sure exactly how to bring it up. You know, we're thinking about moving in the Minnesota, Minneapolis area.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Then she just comes right out and says it. She says, so, and if you don't feel good about this, she says, no hard feelings.
Okay.
I was thinking there are two options. There's a house that we really like. Maybe you could buy the house, and then we could pay you for it, or you could pay the down payment. And it was put just like that. And then she said, so whatever you think, no hard feelings, and I love you, and I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Wow. Once again, we are hearing a question of semantics.
Yeah. Now,
look, I'm not trying, and I know this is a sensitive subject. So nothing was, and this is the semantic issue we're dealing with here. Was anything put in any kind of question form at all?
No.
That's the
thing. Hold on. Maybe it was. It was like, I know what it was. There are a couple of options that I'd like to discuss with you.
Okay.
And after listening to the entire message, I realized the two options that she was glossing over were either I just flat out buy the house and they pay me for it, or I finance the house. And I'm sitting there thinking, now hold on a second. I'm all for picking up, you know, the slack where I can and helping out.
Sure.
But for goodness sakes, right now, I'm paying their mortgage now. That was my Christmas gift to them last year.
Right.
Was the place that they're renting now. I said, I'll pick it up for a year so that y'all can save some money and hopefully start to learn how to get a down payment together.
Right.
Well, I guess what they've done is just taken that money every month and opened up the windows and just thrown it out the windows.
Because the savings were designed to get them on their feet to do that. And I remember, you know, when I bought my first house, my mom and dad were nice enough to help me with the down payment, not make the down payment, but put money towards the down payment. That's kind of, you know, uh-huh. if you have the means to do that.
And I do.
You help your kids.
And I do, and that's why I'm torn because.
Well, I think you're torn by the approach because the approach, what I'm hearing and what's frustrating to you, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is what you're hearing is it's kind of a done deal.
No, not really. It's like, hey, there are a couple of options. Uh-huh. If you could help us out, that'd be great. No hard feelings. If you don't want to, and being a dad, now I've not gotten back to her yet. What I'm going to say to her when I call her back is, listen, I've got a couple of options before we discuss anything.
Right.
How about the first option is before you ask me to buy you a house or give you a down payment, how about first you pay back the $2,500 that you owe me
right.
from when your husband was watching whatever on MySpace on the cell phone.
Right.
Right.
It's
right?
a sticky wicket.
Sure
it's a very sticky wicket, and there's a huge gulf between, like, Greasy Bear, the oil heir that hangs out with Paris Hilton, who basically walks around on his father's dime, and Leona Helmsley, who left $12 million to her dog. You know, everybody's got to find their own comfort zone there. And I know that part of your thing is you also want to make sure that there's motivation there, you know, that they are putting away money and doing things.
And that's what I was trying to do at Christmas time. And you know what? I guess what they don't realize is that, well, they obviously realize it because every month when I write the check for their rent, I put in the memo part, I put like, you know, check number 10 of 12 as if to say this is where it's about to run out.
Do you send the check to them and then they pay the mortgage?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, that's good right there because that has to happen. That has to be processed.
So I guess my dilemma is that I'm conflicted because I certainly have the means to help out.
Right.
On the other hand, you know, it's like I wouldn't tolerate this from Bart.
Right.
I mean, Bart's scheduled to graduate college in December, and he's got his life as far as he can planned out at this point. And if he goes out there and falls on his ass, you know, my job will be, as far as I can tell, to say, I love you. I support you, but good luck, little man.
You have to, at a certain point, cut the cord and actually make sure that it happens this way. How are you thinking you're going to play this?
This is why I am conflicted and why I'm talking about it on the radio, I guess, because I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to buy a house for them.
Right.
I mean, I
not even a small house.
Rob.
You get what I'm saying?
No. Well, you know what? What you'd be willing to do, correct me if I'm wrong, after this would be perhaps help them towards a down payment.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? As a matter of fact, one of the options when I was talking with Jan, I said, you know, I'd be willing to meet them halfway and say, whatever you can scrap together, I'll match it.
Which makes them motivate themselves to put the down payment together.
But the problem is, since December of last year, every single month, and their rent is $1,600 a month.
That's for around this area. That's not a bad rent.
And, well, they live in Minneapolis,
so right? They rent a house.
They rent a house in Minneapolis.
Not bad at all.
$1,600 a month, and from my way of thinking, I'm thinking, you know, that's money. When I originally discussed this with my daughter and my son-in-law last Christmas, I said this would be a great plan because you just have the rent paid every month, and then even if you want to blow half of the rent money,
you
still at least have half, and then by the end of the year, you've got $10,000 in savings, it seemed.
Did they mention any specifics as far as the numbers involved with the house, like what the cost would be?
No, that was another thing that was just kind of left out. That's another reason I feel oogie. It's just like, and I know, and I know.
How much is the house we're looking at? $900,000.
And I know this as well. It's an impulse buy, because she says to me in the message, she says, and the house, it's just right behind the house that we're renting now.
Right.
So the kids could go to the same school, and it wouldn't even be a problem to move because they're so close. And
right.
You know, it's like, you know, at what point as a parent do you say, listen, I'd love to help. You know, I guess the answer is what.
But you're conflicted, you know, like any parent would be.
Meet you halfway.
That's a reasonable.
Yes.
I mean, that's what you've got to weigh the fact that if you are, you know, and you know, there are realities in your own life that take a priority too. You know, and I think perhaps that is something that needs to be conveyed.
You want
to
help?
Anyway, that's just something. I don't know if anybody out there has gone through anything similar. You know, at what point do you say to your kid with love, you know, you have made your bed, now you lie in it, I support you, and I'm willing to help you, and really, I don't want, you know, and I've said to her so many times, I don't want you to make the financial mistakes that I made.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to help. But I get the feeling that if I do something grandiose like this, which will make me feel good and make them feel good, all I'm doing is just being an enabler,
right,
and allowing them not to do what they need to do. And right. Why is it I feel that way about my daughter? Maybe because she's got kids. Mm-hmm. Where on the other hand, with my son, because he's a boy, I think, well,
it's a little easier.
He'll learn the tough way. He'll learn.
Well,
the
there
way
are also different circumstances, which are obvious. And the thing is, you're not. It's not like you're saying, "Hey, to hell with that."
Yeah.
You know, nothing else. And with what you've done, and you haven't talked about all of it on the radio. I know all of it. What you've done.
Oh yeah,
with them along. Right. And I know how much it means to you to do that, and I know it makes you feel very good to do that, and it also. I want to say this with all due respect. I think when people get into a mode where a lot of things are being done, there's a lot of support being given, sometimes it is assumed. This does not make anybody a bad person.
You just say take it for granted.
People assume that there are two things that are assumed. The first thing is that you'll do it because – and I don't want this to come out the wrong way. But you'll do it because – it's the only way I can express
just
it. I'm not trying to be – that you're an easy mark. That you'll do it because you're an easy mark.
And that's kind of how I feel.
And B, there is not a realistic assessment of your own financial situation. So that is where it is perceived, because you've done this in the past, you know, that it is that you're the Federal Reserve. And unfortunately, that's the way people think. And it's unfortunate, but it's true.
Would you call her tonight for me?
I'd be glad to. Yeah, no problem at all. We've never had any kind of meaningful conversation. This would be a very good first one.
No, so anyway.
Hello. This is Don's twice divorced partner here.
I just thought I would just bring it up. That's all.
Well,
and I'll let you know what happens. I'll meet them halfway if I can meet them halfway on that.
Of course. You want to help, and you have, and you will.
Because, you know, above everything, and I think all parents can relate to this, the one thing that I want to avoid above anything else. Mm-hmm. All of them moving in with me.
Right.
That's the one thing. Oh, I'm allergic to that.
That's a little stress in the tummy on that one.
That can't be happening.
No.
That ain't going to happen. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes, hello.
Hey, and Mike. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hey, Don, I'm paying my mortgage in Fairfax County, but, you know, I'd love if you would buy me a beach house in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And you could come down any time as long as you call me ahead of time and scheduled.
Okay.
You know, if you're having a realistic discussion with them, you might want to mention that federal rate cut that happened yesterday.
Hello, Don and Mike show. See, and I'm stupid about stuff like that, too. I mean, I know what you're saying makes sense, and you were making a joke there, like a financial joke, but I'm like,
Well, the thing is, if all things were, you know, yes, I'll do either or, you'd want to do the down payment. That's
or part of it.
That's part of it. You know, you don't want to be the you know, there are institutions that take care of that type of thing and would do so better than you at a better financial situation for everybody.
What if you bought them a house and then kicked them out?
Wouldn't that be something?
And Rob, that is the best solution of all.
Because then who has the power, Don? We'll see who forgets to call you on your birthday next year.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
You'll need a top hat.
Hello.
I'd like you to leave post haste.
Key Rice. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hello. Hey, Key Rice. Hello.
Hi. Now, I was calling to say, you shouldn't feel so conflicted about Bart versus Amy, because you and Frida raised Bart in a different way than perchance.
No, that's very true. Long-time listeners do know that. I mean, Amy was
totally different
daughter from my first marriage, right? And the whole thing, but still, I do feel conflicted.
But you file a lot of what you've done for her under making up for lost time. I mean,
and that's kind of where I've got to say, and that really, for being really cutting down to it, that's where I'm kind of like, okay, I've done all this stuff not to make up for the past, but try to at least catch up. Okay, I think I'm caught up. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I think I'm more than caught up. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like over caught up. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and then on the other side of things, it also, you know, we use the word taking advantage of, might be a feeling of entitlement on that, on the other end there with that. You know, there might be a little bit of that, and that's not necessarily a good thing either.
I don't think that's where she's coming from, but be a fun night tonight. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah. Make sure you save your money, sir, for the Batman cowl and cape, and also the Robin cowl and cape.
Now, this man sounds like he's making an argument for the foolish frivolities that that you perhaps have shared your pocketbook with.
Of course I have an original Batman cowl, and I have the Shakespeare head that you lift up, and it turns on a light. And, okay, I've got the utility belt, but for God's sake, she's driving a brand-new van that I got her 2 years ago. It's not my fault the door fell off the goddamn thing.
Kids were hanging on it.
And in your defense, remember, we bartered the price down on all that Batman stuff. We That's very right. cheap.
It's not foolish. It's an investment.
And most of your memorabilia is donated.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Most.
Most of it.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, I was just going to say, I'm a financial advisor, and it's actually okay if you want to buy like 10% of the house and use it for like the down payment. You can put that under contract that you own 10% of the house.
See, does anybody dig this?
I know exactly what he's saying.
No, I know what he's saying, but I don't want to make another investment. It's not my dream to make an investment in a home in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
No, and here's the thing. If you own 10% of the house, you are responsible for 10% of the house if there's a default there. Yeah.
And if you do own 10% of the house, make sure you get the kitchen. Because then again, you're holding all the cards.
Oh, Rob, everybody wants the kitchen.
All right, we got a break. I'll let you know what happens with this. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Daddy.
Hey.
Daddy,
now,
Daddy.
All my
Daddy.
Kids are calling now. Daddy, all of my many kids. My many kids. Kids born of sperm. They are. That's a fact. Don't delete
your
it
Your seed.
I didn't say
Hello.
I didn't say blood.
Right.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
No, you didn't.
Hey, is this me?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a disqualification.
Although, you know, the blood conversation we had the other day, anybody besides me in this room seen the movie Superbad?
No.
I have not yet.
Okay. Want to.
There's a scene where the fat guy, Seth, is his name in the movie.
Right.
He's dancing at a party with a chick. He's dancing real close, and it's like a frat party. Uh-huh. Things are very tight quarters. And when he walks out of the room, he has blood on his knee.
Oh no.
And he has blood on his knee because he was grinding, dancing with a girl.
Oh, dear.
Who was having her, thank God.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's certainly going to a new area. You know, the Farrelly brothers have motivated a lot of other directors.
And it's a great moment because everybody starts screaming, ah! And then guys grab their camera phones and start taking pictures of it.
I think back to my days in college when I could have a nice scene in a movie based on one of my college roommates. I've told you that story before, haven't I? That he came down and his girlfriend used to visit on weekends and they would kick me out of our bunk bed dorm room.
Yeah.
Where I had the bottom bunk and he had the top bunk.
Yeah.
And I came back one Sunday evening and pulled back the blanket on my bed and determined that something had been occurring.
You told me that.
During that particular time, in my dorm room bunk.
It's not the guy
on my bed.
It's not the guy that had lemon juice by his bed, is it?
No, that was another guy. That was another guy, I think.
This guy was brilliant. Mike, tell him about what this guy
did. There's a guy used to say, you know, if you're worried about any type of disease, open sores, you want to keep a fresh glass of lemon juice right by your bed, and then when it comes time to let your fingers do the walking, you just dip your hand in the lemon juice. And
that's kind of a sign.
If you hear that sound... You'll know it's somewhere you don't want to go.
Doctors agree.
Yes. Not that my college days were filled with debauchery. But,
leave Britney Spears alone right now. Yeah,
and that's what they normally would say when they were walking out.
But, all right. Well,
I was sure angry at this roommate. I really was.
That's when he was dating Gloria Allred.
Yeah. Needless to say, the next time they visited, they stayed at a motel off campus.
Thank you very much for the time here. I'll see you next week when we'll discuss what's going on with my family.
I'd certainly like to hear an update, see how that goes.
Yeah, I see that little hourglass thing is turned over and it's time for the next customer to come in.
Yes, it's your therapy session has concluded.
All right, so let me see. 5 subtle ways to seduce a woman with your words.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Don't say, do you want to go to dinner on Friday night? Do say, want to go for Thai food on Friday night?
Specific. Okay.
Why it works.
This is written by Buzz Burbank, That's isn't right. it?
You're creating an experience she can visualize.
Right. Okay, so for example, if I see a woman at a bar that I want to invite out, like I say, see the woman on Tuesday, want to take her out on Friday, I go, hey, Chipotle?
That's exactly
as opposed
it,
to saying,
not.
Would you like to go out
now
to dinner?
She can visualize
exactly
that.
It.
All right.
Okay, how about
hey, Fuddruckers?
Yeah. How to offer her a bite of your dinner? Don't say, want some steak? Say, want a taste of my steak?
Oh.
Why it works.
Well, I've said that before, but
to
I wasn't
women,
referring to my steak.
To women, taste is a seduction word.
Yeah.
Saying it in a situation where there's sexual tension makes her think about you sexually. Other words do that as well.
Right.
Try to include the words bite, juicy, and tender. And if you're sharing ice cream, or even better, scoop out an ice cube from your drink and offer her a lick.
Oh. Would you like you know, there's another way that I think I could do that, though.
How's that?
Well, be during the soup course. I like seafood restaurants, yeah. And I like New England clam chowder. Mm-hmm. And then just reach your hand into the bowl and say, would you like to lick it off my fingers?
We got to break. You know, this whole thing with the commercials now is going to catch up with us today. We got to break.
Yeah, we got to hustle.
We got to break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.